The message you're about to listen to is a recording from God's Favorite House. It is our prayer that you listen, your life will be transformed, and you will be taken to greater heights in your walk with Jesus. Amen. God bless you as you listen to this message. Someone's knocking at the door.
Hallelujah. Good morning, everybody. Say good morning again to your neighbor to the left and to the right. What an honor to always have the privilege to share the word of God and to, you know, just come into God's presence, you know, with all the craziness happening in our world today, the safest place is the presence of God, you know. So I always look forward to being with God's people and, you know, just worshiping, sharing the word of God. Very beautiful. Okay, let's get into it. Today we are looking at finding real power. Holy words, long preserved for our work in this world, came to us through sacrifice. Oh, let the ancient words impart. Ancient words, ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open hearts. Oh, let the ancient words impart. We have come with open hearts. Oh, let the ancient words impart. Amen and amen. Finding real power. You see, in our world today, we are laddled and saddled and laden with different things squeezing power from us, or there are different things demanding power from us. And we realize very quickly that the functional thing in this world is power. The functional thing in this world is power, you know. And if you break it down in any direction, we need power to function. There can be no service without power, electrical power, that is. There can be, you cannot hear me, I can't hear you all the way from, you know, wherever I am, and we can't share. Power makes things possible. If you're a parent, you have children, they're pulling you in different directions. You need power. You know, if you are working, you have a business, you have ideas, but you're always tired. You need power. You are in a relationship, but you need to deliver on certain things, but you are struggling. You need power. To function in life, you need power. You see, and we have different, makeshift, you know, and things that we use to substitute for power. For instance, you know, going from power drink, you know, people are addicted to, they need, like, I don't want to mention brands, but they need a power drink, you know, otherwise they cannot focus, otherwise they cannot work. Yeah, sometimes some people, they need, husband and wife, they need some form of, yeah, they're married, husband and wife, they need some form of stimulant, otherwise No sausage. They need some form of, you know, in some extreme cases, drug, in some cases, alcohol, in some cases, you know, they need to watch porn, husband and wife, you know, I mean, to get some power, quote unquote. It's a problem because we are looking for power in the wrong places. We are looking for power in the wrong places. So yeah, like Pastor, are you saying that God is interested in all these places you've mentioned? Absolutely. And God has power that is functional in all these places? Absolutely. 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 And we must and we will find out that not only is God interested, God has made real power available to us. So the question is, or the quest is now finding it, finding real power. Acts chapter 1 verse 8, Acts 1 8, the word of God says, but when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you'll be filled with power. You'll be filled with power. Now, you're like, okay, Pastor, isn't that just Holy Ghost power? You know, how does that apply in these areas you've spoken about? You see, that's what God wants to open your eyes to today. Many times, we put God in a box. We think and we conclude that Holy Ghost power is just Holy Ghost power. Oh, I have Holy Ghost power, then when I come to church, I feel goosebumps. It's more than that. Oh, when I have Holy Ghost power, when I'm singing, oh, the anointing is flowing. It's more than that. Oh, if I have Holy Ghost power, then I am able to do something spiritual. It's more than that, my brother. It's more than that, my sister. Holy Ghost power cuts across every facet of our lives. It does. It cuts across every facet of our lives. You see, when you have power, not only will you have power to do the things of God, when you have the Holy Ghost power, you have, when you have been imbued with power, you have power to function. Now, so they're like, but Pastor, how about baptizing the Holy Spirit? How come, you know, he hasn't translated in those other areas? Because you haven't allowed it to translate. Because my people perish because they lack knowledge. Do you know that the Holy Ghost power can power you in your business? Did you know that the Holy Ghost power, the same Holy Ghost power, can power your finances? Did you know that the same Holy Ghost power can power your relationships? The same Holy Ghost power can power the other room. The Holy Ghost is the same Holy Ghost power. God is interested in every area of our lives, and you will receive power primarily to do God's function. But guess what? All those other areas I've mentioned, they are God's function. They are. We do not see them as God's function. That's why we've not connected them to the power source. You need to see everything you do as God's function. The Holy Spirit and power is like inseparable. Inseparable. You cannot separate the Holy Spirit and power. You cannot. You cannot separate the Holy Spirit and power. Judges. Judges 14 verse 6. Judges 14 6. The word of God says that at that moment, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon him. And he ripped the lion's jaws apart with his bare hands. He did it as easily as if it were a young goat. Even a young goat, you need power to rip it. Try and rip the jaw of a goat, a young goat. You will know that the goat can bite. He says, but he didn't tell his father or mother about it. So we see that this is the Holy Spirit coming upon an individual, and he had physical power. So when we talk about the Holy Ghost power, finding real power, we shouldn't box God into just, even though it's not just, but into is just one aspect, when we can experience God in all the other aspects. The Bible says that he tore the mouth of the lion as though he was tearing the mouth of a young goat. Think about that. Can you tear the mouth of a young goat? It's not easy. The goat will fight back. We shout, we scream, we push back, we kick you, it will bite. But now, this guy just tore the mouth of a lion. Why? Because the Holy Spirit came upon you. So, Pastor, what are you saying? What I'm saying is that even your physical endeavors, God wants to empower your physical endeavors with the power of the Holy Spirit. In what areas of your life are you weak? I want you, the same way you, if you have been able to find power, the Holy Ghost power, to do spiritual things, I want you to know that you can leverage the same power to power you in your physical endeavors and in the other every other areas I've mentioned. 1 Samuel 10:6 says, at that time. Now, this is just to show us that it's not only physical. You know, God is a complete God. It's rounded. It's all sides. It's multifaceted. He says, at that time, the Spirit of the Lord will come powerfully upon you. This is Samuel speaking to Saul, giving him the signs. And you will prophesy with them. You will be changed into a different person. At that time, the Spirit of the Lord will come powerfully upon you, and you will prophesy with them. You will be changed into a different person. Here we see, not only is the Holy Spirit able to power us in our physical endeavors, is able to power us in spiritual endeavors. Says when it comes upon you, you will prophesy. What empowers us to prophesy? The Holy Spirit comes upon you, you prophesy. You prophesy effortlessly. The Holy Spirit comes up, the same Spirit comes upon you. You have physical strength to engage all the physical areas of your life. Luke 1:35 says to us that the angel replying to Mary says, the angels replied, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. In the name of Jesus, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. The power of the highest will overshadow you. Ephesians 5:18 says, don't destroy yourself by getting drunk, but let the Spirit fill your life. Can you see the contrast here? God is saying that But let the Spirit fill your life. So you see that drunkenness, alcohol, is being contrasted with the Holy Spirit. So in this case, clearly there are people that can't get by without some form of stimulants. But God is saying those things actually destroy your body. They actually destroy you. You don't destroy yourself. But you can get pure fire, real power, by being filled consistently with the Holy Spirit. What a contrast. Think about it. The things that the people that require some form of drug or stimulant need to get by, God is saying here that the Holy Spirit can supply and more. Hallelujah. So, you know, I've had a couple counseling years and years ago, and the issue is that, you know, I mean, in fact, several, you know, one was that they cannot really be intimate without porn. You know, they need to watch porn, but they've been coming to church, they've been hearing God's word, they've been growing, and they're like not feeling comfortable about it, so they wanted to discuss it. You know, you seem to be a very approachable pastor, you know, so what do you think? It's not a sin, it's just husband and wife, you know. You know, so I said to them that, listen, because I usually stay away from, is it a sin or is it not a sin? You know, the issue is God is doing a work in your heart, and you are getting uncomfortable in these matters, right? Here's the deal. Until you both watch it, they said yes. But when you watch it, we are on this and that. I said, the Holy Ghost can power you. They looked at themselves like, really? What is this guy talking about? I said, the Holy Ghost can power you. And we had to go through a series of coaching and teaching and all that. And by God's grace, today they are fine. They are fired up. They are, you know, and their relationships are healed, because inadvertently you are comparing your wife to this wife's body to this person. You are comparing your husband something to this, you know, and then everybody is getting, you know, intimidated. Everybody is not comfortable, and all sorts of things going on there. Another couple, it was alcohol. They need to drink like not just Gouda. They need to drink like Kai Kai, you know. You know, as in, not Kai Kai as in, but you know that's like alcohol that is closer to the, you know what I'm saying, you know, just a shot or two and things are going to go down happily. And I showed them the scripture and they were like, wow, they've never looked at it like that. God is contrasting the power or the excitement or the euphoria you are getting, on the high you are getting from these substances, to the high the Holy Ghost can take you to. So I can actually say, husband and wife can say, it's time for ABC. If you don't know ABC, then you don't know ABC. It's time for ABC. Holy Ghost, fire, fire, fall. that may sound ridiculous to some of us, because that is so how far apart the Holy Ghost is integrated into our lives, because that's the deepest part of our lives. And we don't invite Him in. Like the day of Pentecost, fire fall on me, hey, and you know, and the Holy Spirit will come. You know, that's I'm not even joking. You know, and you're like, oh, Pastor, you're kidding. I'm not even kidding. The Holy Spirit wants to power you in every area of your life. So, okay, so let's break this down. How, Pastor? How can I find real power? I'm going to show you four things. How can I find real power? Finding real power. Now, these things with God, they are not complex, but they are what it takes. So many times, humanity, we want something that is, but God has come to us in a way we can relate to. So I'm going to give you four things. And engaging these four things, you find real power. Number one, in finding real power, I must desire to be filled. I must desire to be filled. There must be a desire. There must be a hunger. Like we learned yesterday at our prayer meeting, come and buy without money. There must be a longing, a thirsting. That is the currency with which you engage the supernatural. There must be a desire. And the desire must be present and burning. Matthew 7:7 says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. Ask, desire. You can't ask. People that don't desire something, don't ask. Ask and you will find. John 7:37 to 39
says that on the last and most important day of the festival, Jesus stood up and shouted, if you are thirsty, come to me and drink. Have faith in me and you will have life-giving water flowing from deep inside you, just as the scripture says. So Jesus was talking about the Holy Spirit. He was saying, if you are thirsty, come. You can't come if you are not thirsty. The reason many people, you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, but you're just dry afterwards. Oh, those early days, you were on fire and you knew it. But now it's like everything is dry. You know why? You're not thirsty anymore. You're not thirsty. The Holy Spirit hasn't gone, but you're not thirsty. It is thirst and hunger and desire that unleashes the rivers of living water. Hallelujah. That's what unleashes that life-giving river that flows from inside us. So the first thing is to have a desire. Desire. Everybody say desire. The second, how do I find real power? Finding real power. Number two, repent of your sins. Repent. Repent. You see, the concept of repentance is something that we have to understand. We have to understand. When you repent, you are, as it has been explained, two words. Re, that is going back to. Pent is top. Top. Like penthouse, like the top. So repent is actually to go back to the top. Jesus is seated at the right hand of God. We are seated together with him. Many people have like, but when you repent, you are reclaiming your elevated spot. 1 John 1
9 says that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. That's the word of God to you. He is faithful and just. But Pastor, you don't know, I've done this bad thing, this big bad thing. Oh, Pastor. You know, like years ago, a man came to me, he was really broken, he was crying. I mean, he was like, he was saying that, Pastor, I've done this, I've done that, I've done this. Can God forgive me? Can God forgive me? And, you know, and I felt my heart broken for him, you know. At the same time, I felt excited for him because that is what God wants, you know, when you are contrite. So as I said to him, the question is not that can God forgive you? The question is, can you repent? You see, the issue has never been, oh, on this matter, can God forgive? The issue has always been, on this matter, can you repent? Can you repent? If you can repent, you can access mercy. You can access forgiveness. Why? Because mercy and forgiveness have already been released. It's already been released. However, that's why I would say the hand of the Lord is not shutting. But sin has created a boundary, a barrier between God's hand and you. So when you repent, you'll find real power. God's hand, the hand of power, can reach you. Jeremiah chapter 2 verse 13. Jeremiah 2 13. It says, my people have done two evils. They have turned away from me. The spring of living water. They have dug and they have dug their own wells, which are broken wells that cannot hold water. So we see, it says God saying that people have done do evil. The first evil is they've turned away. Listen, sinning is missing the mark. Sinning is what happens like a dart game. When you hit the bull's eye, the innermost circle, that's the objective. But when you hit outside of that, you've sinned the bullseye. That's what they call sin, when you miss the mark. It's sinning, right? What should happen when that happens is that you come to God for repentance so that you can be aligned with God. Now, what happens usually is that when people sin, so the problem usually is not sin in itself, right? By itself, you know, all together. The problem is usually what people do when they sin. So after they have sinned. So when people sin, like the first sin, Adam and Eve, they hide from God. When people sin, they move away from God. Meanwhile, God says we should come with boldness so that we will find grace to help us when we need it most in our time of need. So when you sin, you should go back to God. That's where you should be. But the natural propensity of man is that when we sin, we run away from God. And that's the situation with God's people here. He says that my people have done two evil. They have turned away from me. So it's God is not even talking about their sin at this point. God is saying that they didn't come to me. They turned away from me. The wells of living water. He says, he's like, they are thirsty, but they've turned away from the well of living water. They need life, but they've turned away from the giver of life. And many times we feel that, oh, you know, if I've disappointed God again, well, I might as well leave him, or I might as well just do this, or I might as well just do that. But God is saying to you, don't. Come to me.
Let's sort this out. Let's figure it out. Come, let's reason together. Though your sin be as scarlet, they will be as white as snow. Come, come. So they turn away from me, God says, the source of living water. Then guess what they have now done? Because there's the need, the vacuum in the heart of man, only God can fill it. So you've turned away, they've turned away from God, but they've now created something else. They've put together, another translation says, a cistern that cannot hold water. You leave the fountain of living water, then you are carrying basket that you are trying to pour water in, carry water in. Basket cannot hold water. And it's such a pathetic situation. So those were the two things that they've done, that they did then. But guess what? Those are the two things that people are doing now. They are, instead of coming to God, they've turned away. First error. The second error is that because you have to fill your life with something, they are filling their lives with things that cannot hold water, with things that cannot give life. People fill their lives with all sorts of things because they just want to douse that voice of God that is speaking to them. God has instructed you. He's giving you a way to go. You don't want to go. Instead of you to go to him and let reason, you walked away. But you have created your own God. You won't call it God, but it is. But guess what? It can't hold water. And God is saying to you, come to me. Come to me. Repent. I'm at the top. When you are coming to God, you are coming up. Hallelujah. So number one is to desire. Number two is to repent. Number three is to yield. Yield yourselves to God. Yield to him. You see, many times God's prompting or leading or direction is not in line with our brain. You know, you have to yield to yourselves to God. Mark chapter 8 verse 34. If anyone wishes to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. You have to yield. You have to yield. And let me break it down. Yielding is just saying two things. Saying no and saying yes. That's what yielding is. So it's saying no to selfishness. It's saying no to selfishness and saying yes to God. Saying no to selfishness and saying yes to God. Think about your life. People, you are doing like that. I mean, we all have the opportunities to be selfish. We all have the opportunity to, in every area of our lives, to just think about our own, my comfort. But guess what? We also have the opportunity to be selfless. Every time you have the opportunity to be selfish, is an opportunity to be selfless. Guess what? So you can say no to selfishness and yes to God. That's what yielding means. Yield to God. James 4:8 says to us, James chapter 4 verse 8, it says, say a quiet yes to God and he will be there in no time. Quit dabbling in sin. Purify your inner life. Quit playing the field. You know what it is to play the field? Quit playing the field. Stop playing the Mickey. Yield. Say a quiet yes to God. So when you desire and you repent and you yield yourself to God, real power will begin to flow towards you and flow through your life. Then here's the fourth one. To unleash it fully is trust God to do what he says he will do. Trust God. Look at your neighbor and say, trust God. My brother, trust God. You know, I want you to help me preach to them this morning. And I'll do it. Come on. Find one person and just say, please trust God. Trust God. Be as serious as you can be. Say, trust God. Trust God. Trust God. Romans 15, 13 says to us that may the Lord of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him. As you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by what? The power. Everyone's in power. By the power of the Holy Spirit. So when you trust in God, you overflow in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. It is the power of the Holy Spirit that rushes through your life, gushes. You feel a high. You know, someone has said to me, people said to me, not just someone, that where do you get this energy from? You seem to be always, where do you get the energy from? Well, if I told you, you wouldn't believe it. That's why I don't answer them mostly. It's the Holy Ghost. It's the Holy Ghost. It's the fire that keeps us burning. It's the fuel that propels us consistently. It's the Holy Spirit. You see? Now, most people, when I say to them, it's the Holy Spirit, they're like, hey, Pastor, we need the Holy Spirit. Tell me. Well, so I don't even bother answering because they won't believe me. But now I know you will believe me. It's the Holy Spirit. When you thirst and hunger, when you turn away from your sins, when you yield to him and trust him, it's like liquid fire. It's like you are high. Remember, it was likened to intoxication of alcohol. So the Holy Spirit intoxicates. It takes you to a place where it's not you anymore. It's him that is controlling, you know. So when you trust, it births confidence. When you trust him, it births confidence. You see, the reason people are not confident in God is because they don't trust God. You know, you can't be confident in something that, as someone you don't trust. You know, honestly, for those that have had little children, you know what I'm talking about. At that stage where they're still little, you know. I mean, mostly, they should remain like that, you know. I say to my son, put him on a high place in the park. He climb up, he's high up there. And he's high up there, he's excited. If I say to him, jump! Sometimes I just need to do my highlights, I don't need to say jump. My boy is flying. He's coming. He's going to take off and come. Because he knows daddy will catch him. Right? Because he trusts me. He has confidence in me. He thinks I have all the power, right? That I'll catch him no matter where, what. Well, I'll try my best. You know, and so far God has been helping us. He just takes off. He doesn't even second guess himself. All he's doing is looking at you, waiting for you to give him, to tell him to jump. He's going to jump. Now, and most of us were like that when we were little, you know, with our parents. And most of you that you have children that have grown. Now, your child is now a teenager, is now up there. Then you say to him, jump. The child will say, mommy, are you sure? Or daddy, are you sure? What has happened? Think about it. Can you tell your teenage child to jump from a high place to you that you carry? What has happened? If they still can, well, all the best. But mostly they wouldn't. Why? Because they don't trust your abilities to catch them. They like your intention. They don't. I'm not talking about your intention. Whether you allow them to fall, you probably wouldn't. But they look at you. They're like, you can't catch me. So because they don't trust in that ability, they don't have confidence in it. And that's how we are with God. Sometimes you grow and you become a big boy or a big girl, and God is saying jump, and you're looking at it like, maybe when I was a little boy, you could tell me to jump, I would jump. But guess what? The God we are dealing with, underneath his everlasting arms, he will catch you even in your old age. When you jump, he's all powerful. So he's able to hold you. And so your trust should not wane. In fact, your trust should become stronger. The more you walk with him, the more you trust him, and the more confident you be. 1 John 5:14-15. 1 John 5:14-15 says, this is the confidence that we have in approaching God. That if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we have asked of him. Hallelujah. So this is the confidence that we have, that when we pray, he hears us. And because he's heard us, we have that which we have requested of him. The confidence that we have, that when we pray, he hears us. Confidence comes from trusting. You cannot have confidence in someone you do not trust. So when you hunger, you turn away from anything that is not of God, you yield to God and trust him, you find real power. Hallelujah. So, Pastor, how do I know if it works, if it worked, or if it is working? How do I know, you know, this power? How do I know I have this rich power? This is how you know. Galatians 5:22-23. It's called the fruits of that power. The fruit of that power is the fruit of the Spirit that gives power is love. If you are filled with the Holy Spirit, am I walking in love? So if you are not, and you claim to be filled with the Holy Spirit, you need to check the spirit you are filled with. You know, you are filled, but let's check what spirit it is. The fruit of the Spirit, this is how you know, is love, is joy, is peace. Do you have joy? If you have the Spirit, you found this power, you will have joy. Do you have peace? If you found this power, you will have peace. Do you have patience? Are you patient? If you found this power, you will be patient. Are you kind? Are you kind? People do some things. I'm like, these people are mean. Are you kind? Are you kind? If you have this spirit, you'll be kind. Goodness. Are you good? Faithfulness. Are you a faithful person? If you have the Spirit, you'll be faithful. Are you a faithful person? Gentleness. Are you gentle? Self-control. Do you have self-control? No! The proof that you've contacted this power. You see, that's how God is. You will think the proof that you've contacted the power is something flamboyant and blah, blah, blah. The proof is actually love, peace, joy, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Those will be the hallmarks of your life in the name of Jesus. The Spirit of life rests upon you in the mighty name of Jesus. The power of the highest comes upon you in the mighty name of Jesus. Your life will be filled with supernatural enablement and power in the mighty name of Jesus. Your life will overflow with love, with joy, with peace, with kindness, with goodness, with faithfulness, with gentleness, with self-control in the mighty name of Jesus. If you're here, you're like, Pastor, pray with me. I need to come to God. My own case, I need to start with God. You have never given your life to Jesus. I want to pray with you. We want to pray with you right now. Or you're like, you used to be with God, but you're not with God anymore. We want to pray with you right now. That is me, Pastor. Pray with me wherever you are. As we turn it over to the RP.
Let's continue to pray, ask the Spirit of God. For those of us that, if you are in alignment with God, just pray that the Spirit of God will help you, that the fruit of the Spirit will continually manifest in our lives, even as we grow in Him in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. We thank you for everyone that is surrendering to you at this point. Lord, for everyone that's physically here and online. Father, we ask that you breathe upon them in the name of Jesus as the power of the Holy Spirit comes upon them. Father, their lives will be changed for good in the name of Jesus. And by your grace, they will never go back or fall off the wagon. Thank you, Father. For in Jesus' precious name we have prayed. Amen. Hallelujah.